My name is Carrie, and I am an alcoholic. And my home group is New Horizons. And I'm currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. And for those of you who are just joining us tonight and haven't been with for the rest of the workshop, we started at pretty much at the cover page, and we've worked all the way through to page 84. Last week we did step 10. Or 85, I should say. Last week we did step 10, and that is in the middle of page 84, where it says this thought brings us to step 10, and step 10 is italicized. And then today we're going to be starting at step 11, and you can find step 11 at the bottom of page 85, where it says step 11, and that's italicized. They make it really easy to find where the steps start in this book. So at the bottom of page 85, which is where step 11 starts, I'm just going to go ahead and start reading. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. So we shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Now, when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, my home group does a 11th step study every Thursday. And well, actually, we just moved that to Monday, but it's always been on Thursday previous. And I could not stand the 11th step study when I was new, because people would tell me, you know, oh, well, it's never too early to do prayer and meditation. And I, you know, and so I believed them, and I just thought I was super falling short. I didn't realize that the steps are in order for a reason. Later on, you know, I finally got some really good sponsorship who told me if step 11 was to be done as soon as you got there, it would be called step one. And so I felt a little bit better about myself. I mean, when you first come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll speak for myself, I didn't know anything about prayer and meditation. If you do, oh my God, good. You know, obviously do it. But if you don't, like, the steps are in order for a reason. And I couldn't do prayer meditation without having had a spiritual awakening throughout the, you know, steps up until then that led me to a power greater than myself. Like, I can't strengthen a relationship that I don't have yet. Right. And so if that's where you are, you know, if you're not to step 11 yet, please, like, don't worry about it, because I ended up getting a huge resentment. I went to, my home group met 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And I would go there religiously Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And I would skip Thursday and go to this other meeting across town because I couldn't time after time, every time I got there, I just felt like a failure, like I was falling short. Now, one of the reasons that I felt this way is because I was listening to what was being said in the meetings instead of the black words on the white page in the blue book, which is what I learned many years later. I heard things like, and you know, after we get through step 1 through 12, and then we get through working with others, which we won't be, two wives, chapter to the employer, family afterward, not in that order. And then vision for you at the end of vision for you, where it says, you know, we realize we only know a little, and more will constantly be, you know, revealed. They don't use the word revealed. More will constantly be disclosed to you and to us, right? And that's talking about step 11. So if you are in a place where you can do like serious meditation, like what you see on TV or whatever, ugh, wonderful. I don't mean to be putting down anybody's program. That's not what I intend to do today. Because these steps are very clear cut and they're very simple for a very complicated alcoholic like me. I did not keep it simple. And because of that, I felt constantly like I was falling short. I felt constantly, even after I started sponsoring people, because the book also says that we can't transmit what we haven't got, right? And so I was unable to meditate the way I see done on TV, not the way it, I read in this book, the way I see done on TV. I was unable to meditate. The way to clear my mind, the way that I heard it being said in meetings, I went to meditation meetings and we sat there for 20 minutes in silence. And it was for an alcoholic mind like mine, this squirrel cage, it was sheer torture. I mean, and if that's your thing, great, you know, call it a meditation meeting. I don't know if I'd call it a step 11 meeting because it's very misleading. There's a, you know, step 11, I thought I had to quiet my mind. I thought I had to clear any thoughts that entered my mind. You know, I listened to YouTube videos. I did meditation, guided meditations. I did 90 and 90 on yoga classes because I thought that maybe, you know, since I fell in love with the fellowship after 90 and 90 in AA, maybe I could do that same thing in yoga. And I just, you know, fell short after time, after time, after time. And I didn't understand what I was doing. And when I tried to meditate the way I thought the definition of meditation was, it looked something like this. Okay, clear your mind. Did I turn the coffee machine off? No. Back to meditation. Clear your mind. Did I brush my teeth? I know I flossed. You know, that's what it looks like. And I didn't understand that meditation is, you know, the words meditation, the definition of meditation. In 1939, it was a two-word definition, and it has nothing to do with clearing your mind. It has to do with thinking. The two-word definition is thoughtful contemplation. And that made the world of difference. So because I can't transmit something I haven't got, I would take sponsees, I would take new women through this book and through the program from steps 1 through 11. 1 through 10. And then I would assign them to this woman, Deanne, who was like a spiritual guru, right? And I would say, she's your step 11 sponsor. And then they're back to me for step 12. Because I was thinking, I can't transmit something I haven't got, right? All the while, this book is providing me and the new person, if I could just get out of my own way and stop trying to make stuff up and stick to what this book says, with clear-cut instructions. And I don't have to know how to do meditation as what's shown on TV. I just have to do meditation as what's described in 1939 when this book was written, which is thoughtful contemplation. So it says, the next line says, and I don't know how I missed it, this the first 100 times I read this book, it would be easy to be vague about this matter. Here's a highlight, guys. Yet, we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. What? You're not just going to tell me to close my eyes and try to clear my mind and have at it? Like, good luck with that? No. Definite and valuable suggestions. So then it starts by telling me what I'm supposed to do at the end of the day, which is erroneously known as a 10th step. But for those of us who work out of the big book, you know, this is under the 11th step and it's called an 11th step review. It's not a 10th step inventory because the 10th step, like we read last week, should be done throughout the entire day. Like that's a walking around step, right? My 10th step is where I walk around taking personal inventory as I go, right? And let's see, and I continue to set right new mistakes as we go along. It says that I continue to watch for my defects of character and when, not if they crop up, right? When, not if. Then I ask God at once to remove them. I don't wait till the end of the day and write them down in an inventory and then ask God to remove them. I ask God at once to remove them. And then I discuss them with someone else immediately, not at the end of the day, right? And then make amends quickly, not wait until the end of the day if we've harmed anyone. Then resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Now, if I've done that throughout the day, if I'm not sleepwalking throughout my day, if I've actually done a good 10th step, then at the end of the day, all it is a review. I don't have to take inventory. That's what I do as I go along. I just review the inventory that I took. And if I wasn't sleepwalking, it's a super easy task. I just answer these questions, right? And so what is the questions? Well, when we retire at night, that's giving you a clear-cut time frame. Now, that doesn't say right before I go to bed, that doesn't, but when I retire, meaning when I'm done for the day, when I'm not going to have any more harmful interaction with people, when I'm done doing things that might cause my, you know, me to do a 10th step, right? So when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. We don't destructively inventory our day. We take inventory all throughout the day. Now we're just constructively reviewing that inventory, right? So now I have to ask myself, where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Well, if I didn't sleepwalk, if I have been up on my 10th step, those questions are easy because I know where, because I've already made those amends, because I've already had to take that stuff to God. Right? And those are easy questions to answer. Now, if I wasn't in my 10th step, if I wasn't living in my 10th step, that makes a whole lot of work for the 11th step review. And sometimes it can end up looking like inventory if I don't do, if I don't keep up on my 10th step during the day. That's why 11 is after 10. do I owe an apology? And then I have to consider, did I have time to write that wrong immediately? Or am I going to have to do that tomorrow, right? I can make a mental note. Hopefully, I've already promptly admitted where I was wrong and cleaned up that mistake. Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Well, that's step four on the, not the fourth step, but that's process number step four on the 10th step, right? Because the 10th step is... ask God it wants to remove them, then we discuss with someone immediately. So if I've been doing my 10th step, then that's already been done. If I have not been doing my 10th step throughout the day, then I have to answer that like, no, okay, so I do need to discuss something with my sponsor or with another person in AA or with somebody who I might have harmed. And those are hard to sleep at night, right? If I don't do a good 10th step during the day, if I allow myself to sleepwalk during the day, I have a really hard time resting my head on my pillow at night. When I used to think that my 10th step was done at the end of the day, I mean, I could hardly sleep because I'm going to bed, not constructively reviewing my day, but in morbid reflection going, oh my gosh, what did I do? I've done this. And, you know, I don't like to do inventory right before I'm supposed to get a good night's sleep. So I do my inventory in my 10th step in the day, and then I just review that at night so that I can get a good night's sleep. So what could we have done better? That's constructive, right? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? And that's part of, you know, my 10th step as well, is as I go throughout the day, I see where I can be of maximum use to God and those about me, right? And I, many times each day, I say, thy will not mine be done. So I can answer that if I've been doing my 10th step. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Right? Because this is not an inventory. It's just a review. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And, you know, if I've been keeping up on my 10th step, this is super easy. Now, I would love to sit here on my high horse and tell you that I do a perfect 10th step every day, all day. But I would be lying. Some days I actually can get through the whole day without sleepwalking. And that's awesome. And boy, do I sleep amazing at night when that happens. Yesterday wasn't one of those days. And yesterday I was actually doing a 10th step. So what's that tell you about my spiritual fitness? Yesterday I made a mistake. And I thought I caused harm. I had a talk with my sponsor because some stuff cropped up during the meeting yesterday, during my home group meeting, and some stuff cropped up. And after the meeting, I called my sponsor, and the other person had already called my sponsor. And I thought that I was going to owe an amends. And this is why calling my sponsor is so helpful before just going off and shooting an amends off, right? And my sponsor says, "No, I don't think you do. Why don't you consider this, this, and this?" And I considered those things, but it was still hard. At the end of the day, I felt bad because, in a general way, she let me kind of in on what the other person was feeling. And it was hard for me to go to sleep at night. And I called her this morning because I can't. I mean, today, my road is narrower than when I first got here. I could be the, Tasmanian devil in everybody's life when I got here and sleep fine. Not today. And so because, I didn't sleep well last night because I was thinking that I might have hurt somebody. I called my sponsor this morning and I said, "I didn't sleep well last night. Are you sure I don't owe an amends?" And she asked me the same questions, and the answers were the same. And wouldn't you know it, the other person called me just before the meeting today, and they said, "Hey, I just wanted you to know that I took something the wrong way yesterday. I was having a really bad day, and it was completely me and not you. And turns out I didn't owe an amends." But those things are, those are why today, the difference between today and 10 years ago is that walking around step that happens before step 11. Because when I thought that I was just doing a 10th step at nighttime, oh my goodness, those sleepless nights were all the time because I didn't worry about stuff throughout my day. And then at nighttime, I had this big inventory of how crappy of a person I was that day. And then it was time for bed. So I really appreciate the way, the clear-cut directions that I don't know how I missed for all these years. But on awaking, sorry, on awakening. So now, we're gonna go to bed. We had a constructive review. We're going to go to bed. We have a good night's sleep. And then on awakening, it tells us exactly what to do, which is think, right? My highlights on this page on in this next couple paragraphs is let us think about our 24 hours ahead. We consider what's consider another term of another way of saying thinking. Our plans for the day before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, another thinking, right? Employ our mental faculties, which is another way of saying thinking, in thinking about our day. An intuitive thought or decision, like this whole 11th step is about thinking, not about clearing my mind. Oh, thank God, because I can't clear my mind. But when I let God direct my thinking to these very specific things that I am directed in this page to think about and to consider, to give thoughtful contemplation to meditation, then my thoughts can go where they're supposed to go, and God can come in, right? And then there's room for God's will instead of just the ramblings of Carrie. So I'm going to read that paragraph on awakening. Let us think about the next 24 hours ahead. I love that. The first thing I do is I wake up and I do not do step one, two, and three and pee and come out and drink my coffee. I wake up, I go pee, I come out and I sit down with my phone. Sorry if that upsets anybody, but this is what I do because this is what it's telling me to do with my phone. And I open my calendar and I look at my day and I have my coffee there. And I check in with my higher power before I open my phone. I actually do say good morning to my higher power. I actually do say, "Hey God, just checking in. What are you going to have me do today?" right? Like, I'm a soldier. I'm yours. Show me where you want me to be and where you want me to go and what you want me to say. Direct my thoughts, direct my my words, direct my thinking. And then I open up my phone and then I look at the next 24 hours. So in on awakening, let us think about the next 24 hours ahead. I consider my plans for my day, right? Because now I'm looking at my calendar. I'm looking like, oh my gosh, I have a sponsee scheduled when I'm supposed to pick up my daughter from work. Okay, I better fix that, right? And in doing that, then I'm not going to run into trouble later in the day to where I'm going to start go off the deep end, right? And need to implement my higher power like as a safety net. I can review my day. I can consider my plans for my day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. So that's what I do before I open my phone. I ask God to direct my thinking. I check in and I say, hey, I'm here. Good morning. Please direct my thinking. I'm, you know, use me however you want to use me today. Especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, right? And that's when I say, how can I be of maximum usefulness to you and my fellows? Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. Get this, for after all, God gave us brains to use. You know, when we get here and they tell you, don't trust your thinking, don't think, turn that think sign upside down. No, yeah, maybe it would be maybe before I've been introduced to a higher power through the working of these 12 steps. But once I get to step 11, I can employ my mental faculties. Like I get to start using that brain God gave me. That's where this whole think comes from, right? And if we're actually gonna, you know, quote this page, it's actually think, right, Mr. Curtis? Is it six times it says? Okay, six times. So our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So now in thinking about our day, more thinking, we may face indecision, right? Like the time where, oh my gosh, I have to pick up my daughter and I have to be with a sponsee. How I can't be at two places at one time. What am I going to do? We may not be able to determine which course to take, right? Here we ask God for inspiration. Every time this book says ask, it's a prayer, right? And I get to ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. More thinking. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. And sometimes it's as easy as, you know, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, it's like, oh no, what am I going to do? Oh my gosh. And then I have to be in two places at once. And what am I going to do with the dog and all this? But when I'm asking God for that intuitive thought or decision, sometimes it just looks so clear on my paper or on my phone or wherever your calendar is. It looks so clear. And like the colors, because I put my daughter's green, my sponsees are orange, my speaking commitments are yellow, like they're all in different colors, right? And it seems like the colors almost start separating themselves and I know where they need to go. I'm like, that's easy. I can just call her up and ask her if she minds pushing it a half hour later until I have my daughter at work, right? I mean, some of the stuff just comes so easy to me when I have asked God to direct my thinking and I'm not trying to run the show. And then I get to relax and take it easy. So what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced, having just made conscious contact with God. Now, that is a qualification because when I first came here and I was trying to jump into step 11 without having done 1 through 10, I haven't just made a conscious contact with God. So how am I going to do this step? I mean, I could do prayer and meditation like what I see on TV, but the directions in this book only come, the directions on page 86 and 87 only come after pages 1 through 85, right? And all of this stuff is in order for a reason. And it's to make it easier and more simple for complicated alcoholics like me. And all I have to do is follow direction. It's so easy when that's all I have to do is read this book and take these directions. It's not being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God. It's not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pray for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. So I'll tell you, when I was new seeking, I sought hard, and I shared with you guys when we were on the second step in this workshop that step two took me longer than all of the other steps combined. And it's because I was making too big of a deal out of the seeking. Like, I was trying to find, right? And I was seeking and seeking and seeking and not finding. And I'm on the second step seeking. And one of the places I sought was an 11th step meeting, because where else would be better to find God, right? Except for in a meeting designed for that specific step. So I started going back to the 11th step meeting on Thursdays at my home group, the meeting that I was avoiding like the plague because it didn't feel good. But then I kept hearing you guys share things like, you know, see where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer and all that stuff, which today I completely get and I can utilize 100%. And I love that. But that back then, before I had this relationship with a power greater than myself, this is what I heard. I heard you guys discussing how God comes to you in all sorts of, you know, ways and whatever. And I couldn't hear the voice of God. And so there's this place in Bend, which is where I live. We don't have mountains really here. It's like desert, but we have like volcanoes, right? And so there's these short mountains that are real flat on top. And they call them buttes. I don't know if any of you have heard of that term, but like we have Pilot Butte, we have Aubrey Butte, we have all these buttes instead of mountains. And they all have hiking trails on them. And one of them, the one right in the middle of town, has a road that you can drive up. And it's like, you have to go around three times to get to the whole, to get to the top, right? And I went seeking. And I sat there in that 11th step meeting, and I was seeking in church too. I was going to different churches, and I was seeing people praying, you know, and they were doing things like this, and they were looking up. And I thought, okay, God must be up, you know. So I went up the butte, and I'm thinking, if he's going to hear me, maybe I need to be closer to where he lives or whatever, right? And so I went up the butte, And I'm in early sobriety, right? Now, I've shared with you guys in the past, and it's not something I'm proud of by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I created more wreckage in my first year sober than my last year drunk. I had never had an affair. I had never cheated on my husband. I never did any of that stuff. Till you took the alcohol away from this alcoholic, and I'm going to fill that hole with whatever I can get. Right. And so I hadn't taken that step just yet, cause I had to, you know, find a God first to make sure that that was okay. And I'm up on the top of the butte, and I'm praying for, I guess schizophrenia. I think that's what it's called when you can hear the voice of God, which is what I was expecting. And I still haven't heard the voice of God, and I don't pray for schizophrenia. But I was up there saying, you know, like, if you're there, let me, you know, let me know. And I was listening, and I wasn't hearing anything. And I'm like, well, those people in meetings said that there's signs everywhere. Right. And so I'm like, okay, my 30-day sobriety coin says on it, to thine own self be true. And I've done everything for everyone my whole life. To thy own self be true. I just met my soulmate, this old timer in AA who had 3 months of sobriety. And he was my spiritual teacher, right? And we just had so much in common. And he lived right behind TEC downtown, and we would go study the book after the meetings. And I, you know, and I thought, and he had already made his case on how we were meant to be together. And I'm like, gosh, God, give me a sign. If this is true, you know, then the next car that drives by down there will be white when I open my eyes. And I opened my eyes, and guess what color the next car was? It was white. It's not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I was not on this step. I was not on this step. That is not how God speaks to through. And God doesn't speak through the color of a car for me. So by the time I got here, though, I knew right from wrong. I had a conscience. I had been restored to sanity. Those are the 10th step promises. 10 comes before 11. I can't understand what God wants from me. I can't understand what God wants for me. I can't understand what God wants to work through me until I've been restored to sanity. And this step comes only after I have been restored to sanity. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, not overnight matter, right? Be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and we come to rely upon it. I have come to rely upon this through prayer and meditation. I have come to rely upon it. It has materialized for me. But it wasn't, I don't walk up to the top of the Butte and wait for different colors of cars today. That's not how I do it. We usually conclude this period of meditation. It even tells us how to end the period of meditation. Like, I don't know how much more clear these directions could get. I don't know how I missed this. I don't know when they put these pages in the book, but they're here. So we conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. What step does this sound like? We ask especially for freedom from self-will. Sounds like step three. Right. And I hear people saying that, oh, I had to take, I took a third step today. I'm on my third step today. I'm doing step three today. I took my third step on my knees with my sponsor years ago. I haven't changed my mind. I don't want to run my life again. What I'm doing is I'm practicing the principle that I learned of the third step through being awake on my 11th step, through practicing 10, 11, and 12. Continue, improve, and practice. Those are the words in 10, 11, and 12. They're not past tense. We do this all day, every day. So we especially ask for freedom from self-will, practicing the principle of that third step, and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. What does that sound like? Do you guys, is that familiar? Let's go to page 13 in Bill's story, because that's where this whole program comes from, is Bill's story. Like, we just copied what happened to Bill, and that's how this program was written. So page 13, it says about 11 or 12 lines up from the bottom of the page, never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. So that's a direction in the 11th step. So I don't get to pray for myself, except for when it can be useful to others. So I get to pray, God, release me from this bondage of self. Why? So that I can do your will better, right? So that I can be a channel, so that I can be bear witness to those that I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. But that's what I get to pray. I get to pray for God to help me to become more useful. I don't get to pray for my own selfish ends. I don't get to pray for, you know, winning the lotto. I don't get to pray that my daughter doesn't, I was going to say, get to go to college, but doesn't fail out of high school. I'll lower the bar a little bit at this point. She's 15 and whew. I don't get to pray for that type of thing. I just get to pray for God's will and for God to help me to be more useful. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. My experience on the butte that day proved that it doesn't work. I can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives, friends, our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. Circumstances don't warrant in my household. I don't have a wife, but I have a husband, and it doesn't warrant that I do that with him because, quite frankly, we don't have that kind of relationship, and that's okay. I mean, he prays. He probably does this step better than I do, but we don't have that type of we. It's private. We don't do that together. But I have a sponsee sister that I do that with. And that's a friend. And when I have a new sponsee who is having trouble with this step or with her third step, I do that with her. And so if we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. So it's not just saying these are the clear-cut directions and then stop. No, it's saying these are the clear-cut directions, but also pray with your spouse or your friends, or if you belong to a denomination which requires morning devotion, do that too. If not members of a religious body, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers, which emphasize the principles we've been discussing. In the 12 and 12, it gives an amazing prayer for this. It's the Saint Francis prayer. And I mean, I can manipulate pretty much anything, and even that prayer is hard for me to manipulate. And when I read that prayer, it is definitely something that I want to strive to be. Now, I have manipulated that before, right? Where there is error, let me bring truth. But you can't pick and choose. You can't cherry pick. The whole prayer comes together. So that's one of my prayers that I say in my 11th step, in the morning. And I also say the third step prayer. And I used to say the seventh step prayer every day, but it became more going through the motions. And once I memorized the seventh step prayer, and this is just my journey, and this is where we all get to figure out how to do it our own each individual ways, is it became stagnant and it stopped meaning something. I stopped praying the prayer and just started saying the prayer, if that makes any sense. So I actually, on purpose, stopped saying the seventh step prayer, I don't know, for like 6 months or whatever until I finally unmemorized it. And you can do that, apparently, when you're my age. I can't unmemorize any of the rap songs that I know by heart from when I was 13 years old, unfortunately, but I can definitely unmemorize a prayer. Anyway, so now today, when I pull that seventh step prayer out, I can actually utilize it because it's no longer a memorized thing anymore. And that's just what works for me. And everybody gets to do it different, right? It's no longer just going through the motions. It means a little bit more to me today if I use it sparingly. I hate to say using prayer sparingly, but I had to use, I have to, that's a prayer that I have to use sparingly. So there are many helpful books also. That's great. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer. Where does that come from? Well, going back to Bill's story again, because this whole program comes from Bill's story, page 11, it says, the last paragraph, it begun to look as though religious people were right after all. Like this whole program comes from Bill's story. And I do that. I do seek out where, I am not a particular religion today. I have been. I've actually been baptized and everything, but today I You know, I seek wherever I can find. If I'm in a church with a friend who is of a certain sect or denomination, I get so much out of it, and it doesn't have to be mine. I can hear Alcoholics Anonymous through everything going on at any church, because basically the principles, I mean, they're spiritual principles. They're not AA's principles. They've been around long before men first crushed grapes. They have nothing to do with alcohol. They're the right way of living, right? We're sure our way of living has its advantages for all. It just comes easier to people who aren't like me. So as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. What does that sound like? Well, this is practicing the principle of the third step again, but it's not in the third step. This is all in the 11th step. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." That sounds like a third step, but it's not. The third step is in past tense. I am not making the decision that I think I can do better running my life than God. I have not changed my mind about that one bit. And again, do I do it perfectly? No, never. Not even a single day have I ever lived 100% in God's will since I took my third step. However, that's why I have this 11th step, to humbly say to myself each, all throughout the day, "Thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. How can I be useful? Divorce me from self-pity so that I can do your will. Relieve me of this fear that I have so that I can better do your will. Direct my thinking." You know, I get to do that all day. That's steps 10 and 11. It has nothing to do with the decision I made that long ago in my sobriety. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. That's the shortest paragraph in the whole book. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us through going to yoga. Oh, sorry. Nope. That's not what it says. So we get let God discipline us in this simple way we just outlined. I mean, it doesn't get more simple than this clear-cut outline that we've been given on these two pages. It's so simple. So simple. But this is not all. This is not an 11-step program. We got through 1 through 11, right? But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter, because what kind of work? What does that mean, right? Faith without works is dead. That sounds like biblical. Well, it is. But it also sounds kind of like a puzzle or something. Well, they're going to tell us exactly what this means. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12, working with others. So faith without works is dead. What kind of work? Working with others, right? And that also comes from Bill's story. Again, we go back to page 14. Page 14 is where Bill is going from his 11th step into step 12. And he says at the bottom of the page, "My friend emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all of my affairs," which is the second part of step 12, right? Practicing these principles that we learned when we took the steps. Particularly, it was imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through many meetings, oh, nope, sorry. It doesn't say that. How do we, what does this say? For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his life through work and self-sacrifice for others, through working with others, that's the work that we're put here to do. That's the work that I've been tasked when God removed that obsession from me and released me of active alcoholism. That's the work that I was meant to do, is work with others. So he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. And so that's why, when all else fails, intensive work with other alcoholics is, that's the solution. I'm trying not to quote the book too much, but that's the solution for me, is working with others. And what's cool is the last line of this says, what's cool is the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And I believe that step 12 is like 90% of our program. You know, in the beginning of the book, The Doctor's Opinion, we read that that we do have a new power, right? New power flows back in, right? I'm going to speak for myself because this is very controversial. I'm not powerless. I will always be powerless over alcohol. Like, I have a absolute physical allergy that I will never recover from. But once I have the new power flow in, now I am with power, right? And I find on The Doctor's Opinion, XXIX, it says that suddenly I find myself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. So all of a sudden, I will never be able to control my drinking, period. But what's cool is I no longer want to drink. The only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. What rules are those? Once I'm a recovered alcoholic and I've worked steps 1 through 9, the few simple rules: trust God, clean house, and work with others. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Trust God, clean house, work with others. Steps 10, 11, and 12. Steps 10, 11, and 12. And hopefully I die a sober alcoholic. Working with others will take us 2 weeks. It's like the entire chapter is devoted to step 12. I mean, it is a big chapter. There is a lot in it. And like I said, it's 90% of at least my program, because it's really how I get to practice these principles, is going through the book and taking other people through the book. Somebody asked me something a few weeks back about, I forget how it was worded, but something about, you know, that I was so lucky because I had a sponsor who knew what she was doing, or who knew the book, to take me through the book. It's like, that is not how I learned the book. That is not how I know anything about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, I'm grateful that a sponsor who knew what she was talking about took me through that book, I understood nothing about. I just did what the book said to do when it said to do it, when I did what she told me to do, but I still didn't know anything about what I was doing. It wasn't until I started taking others through that book over and over and over again that it came to life and I started to understand the book. So it's in giving it away that I'm able to keep it. So with that, I will turn it back over to Dee, since it is exactly on time today.
That's amazing. You better mute yourself. I hear that cute dog snoring. In case you guys wondered, it really wasn't Carrie, you know, breathing heavy. He's too cute. Anyway, that's an outside issue, or I don't know, off topic. But anyway, he's adorable. I couldn't help it. I'm laughing. That's what I'm laughing at, was the snoring. So send your questions, please. Thank you, Carrie, so much once again for your love for Alcoholics Anonymous and your demonstration of being here tonight to share with us. So thank you. And on behalf of the Three Light Group, I thank you. We thank you. So I have a question that's in the chat, but listen, guys, I'm not so loaded with questions that you cannot send one. So send one. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask that you wish you did when you leave tonight, you know, so please. And they're anonymous, so don't worry, you're not called out. So let's take a look at what we've got. And in the meantime, let's see here. Somebody did send me that. I think your dog is snoring. That they knew it too. Do you know the name of my friend in Bill's story, page 14 for history buff?
My friend, you mean Ebby Thatcher? The sponsor?
Looking for
the guy looks who like carried the message to Bill is his name is Ebby Thatcher.
There we go. And then the next one is let's see here. Somebody was asking, maybe it's not on that one. Good. It's right here. So how many people do you take through the steps generally in 1 year?
I have never counted. I mean, I guess I take a lot of newcomers through, you know, the first few steps before that's an impossible. And I mean, we get all the way through all 12 steps, you know, to where, and I don't count getting all the way through all 12 steps until they are sponsoring someone else and taking someone else through the work. That's when I count that they've done all 12 steps. Probably 5 to 6 times a year, but we do start out maybe about 10, I guess 10 times a year, but we do start out. I probably do steps 1, 2, 1 and 2 with maybe 30 people. And then they change their mind about AA or they, a lot of them, which I love, because I used to be a chaser and I'm not anymore. A lot of new people, they need to go and find the easier, softer way. And I used to like get all like, oh no, you're going to die, you know? And today I realized that sometimes they need to go and find, you know, like, sometimes an easier, softer, like fellowship is wonderful, you know, smart recovery, or refuge recovery or something like that. And sometimes it'll actually work for them and that's wonderful. And then I have a contact in another 12-step fellowship, right? Alcoholics Anonymous is not for everyone. And some of the women, they need to find an easier, softer sponsor sometimes, you know, and first and take somebody who's willing to, you know, be there, you know, to just listen to them vent. And I don't do that. I don't listen to people vent. I like to, I'll give you 5 minutes. And then I say, okay, 5 minutes is up. What's the solution? You know? And sometimes that hurts some feelings. And sometimes, you know, people aren't willing to get a home group, or sometimes people aren't willing to be only do service in their home group because the ego gets so big that they want to do service all over the place. And sometimes, you know, and so sometimes, things happen like that and they need to go find another sponsor. And what's cool is after they go through a few sponsors and a few more sobriety dates, you know, what's really cool is when they end up at my doorstep, you know, drunk and crying and willing. And it's so much easier to work with someone after they've tried, you know, after they've had to check off the other boxes, rather than the first time around. And so that's also really helpful, is to not take anyone's bottom away from them. And I used to do this with pot smokers too. Like in my home group, we're right across the street from the family kitchen, which is like, you know, where homeless people go to get food and stuff. And it's great to catch those low bottoms. But we had this one guy, his name was David. Not our David, but we had this one guy, his name was David, and you know, he would come in and he would take a 30-day coin and he'd smell like pot, you know? And I'd be like to my sponsor, we can't give him a coin. He smokes weed, you know, we can't, and all this, and that's total outside issue. You know, he's not my sponsee. He can do whatever he wants. We have one requirement, a desire to stop drinking, you know? And it finally was so awesome that he got to learn for himself after I became in acceptance about that. And started congratulating him, you know, and one time he even got 2 months and it's like, congratulations, David, that's awesome. No drinking, you know, and he hadn't gotten drunk for 2 months and that is awesome. And yeah, he was working the marijuana maintenance program instead of the steps. Right. But I get to be supportive and happy for him. And in that, when he finally realized that the marijuana maintenance program wasn't necessarily going to work for him because he never had a permanent sobriety date and he dropped that, now today he actually works the steps and he doesn't have to say, no, I don't smoke weed because Carrie Blake said it wasn't going to work for me. He gets to say, no, I don't smoke weed because I tried that. And somebody's experience, I don't get to rob anybody of their experience, you know, I get to be supportive and I get to be loving and I get to, now I'm not talking about spot. I didn't sponsor this gentleman. you know, if it was a woman and she was asking me to sponsor, I would tell her, I'd give her a list of women's phone numbers that do sponsor pot smokers. And I would encourage her to go and try that, you know, but I wouldn't talk bad about it. I wouldn't talk down about it. I would just be a safe place for them to land when they're ready to do the work the way I do the work.
I don't know if you could have put that any more eloquently. That almost made me cry. That was absolutely beautiful. What a loving place. Thank you, Carrie. All right. So we have another question. Somebody said, thank you so much. Sorry, I'm just now finding this. I guess they could have maybe saved a lot of pain, but we're glad you're here now. Let's put it that way. How much written inventory do you normally have in an average day at this point in your recovery? Oh, for you. So how many like pages, sentences versus pages, sentences in written inventory do you normally, yeah.
So written inventory. I generally do a biannual 10th step. A lot of people will call that a fourth step. It's not, it's continued inventory. I've cleaned up the wreckage of my past. You know, all of my wreckage now, and it's so funny. It's so funny that when you're new and you do your fourth step, it's like, oh, thank God I never have to do that again. Nothing could be worse. And thank God, oh, now I just have to do my 10th step over and over again. And it's so much easier. No, you know, 10th step work, when you're sober and you have to do written inventory on things that you've done sober, is so much more difficult than having to do inventory on stuff that you did when you were drunk and you had an excuse. So I used to think the fourth step was so much more difficult than the 10th step. And now I'm coming to a place in my sobriety where it's like, oh my God. So I don't write my inventory every night. You know, that's, I do my inventory during the day, like I just shared. My 11th step review is at night. And when I run into something, that's when I have to take out a paper and a pen. And that's when I have to do some written inventory. But most of the time I can get through that review without. Now there's a couple of times a year that, you know, I will be running into the same thing over and over again, keeps cropping up on my 10th and 11th. And that's when my sponsor says, okay, it's time for a written inventory, right? And that's when I get to write some inventory. And that usually happens, you know, it's not planned. So I think last year, because of the pandemic, and I'm the GSR of my home group during the pandemic, it happened more often than like probably 4 times, but like the year before, I think I did 1 the whole year. Now I do have women who I sponsor that send me a nightly review every single night. Probably 6 or 7 of them all come in at the same time. Just a text, you know, my phone just starts 8 o'clock at night, bling, 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 because they're all coming in at the same time. And they send me their review. And so that we can, I know what we need to talk about the next time we meet up, because I can see the patterns and the, you know, the review going on. But I don't make them do that. I get them in the habit of doing that when we first get on steps 10 and 11. But I don't make them do that. I trust that when they get on steps 10 and 11 with the people they're taking through the steps, it just becomes a working part of the mind.
Thank you so much. And we have, let's see. Oh, I saw a good one. Hold on. Let me go back to it. Did you get any questions, by the way, that came directly to you? I just want to make sure. I know normally if you would have saw one, you would have told me. But let me take a look here. So what if someone is still drinking and wants to be taken through the book? Can they be brought through the book successfully?
Oh, that's up to their sponsor. You know, I have made the mistake of giving my opinion to this answer before on another Ask It Basket. But I mean, I'll just, with that, leaving my opinion out, I'll give you the facts. The big book doesn't say anywhere in the instructions, at this point, we stop drinking. You know, stopping drinking is a byproduct of doing the steps. The steps aren't a byproduct of stopping drinking.
I like that. So I got some more questions that I almost didn't see, and I apologize to those people. So can you, let's see here, let me go back. As far as a copy of these sessions, everybody, there was all kinds of stuff that I posted in that chat. If you haven't found what you need yet in there, directly ask me specifically. I'll make sure I get it to you. But the recording link is in there, along with all kinds of helpful information, literature links from both myself and Carrie that have been posted in there, and I reposted them as well. But hang out, we can hang out, and we'll be here for you to make sure you get what you need. How long do you take to take people through the book?
Oh, that's up to them, not me. I think I've had this question at this same workshop before, a couple of weeks ago. And so we're like full blown in 12 step, aren't we? We're like in the working with others now, I guess steps 1 through 11, you guys are done with. So I guess we're in the 12 step. So, I have sponsored a woman who, had 4 kids and a full-time, I'm sorry, I said 6 kids. At the same time, I was sponsoring 2 other women who had 4 kids each, 4 kids. And this one, Pam, had not our Pam from New Horizons, but another Pam had, she had 6 kids, all at home, you know, all under 18 years old and a full-time job. It was slow going for a while. It was slow going. I got her through the third step as quickly as possible, but it wasn't super quick. I mean, I hate to discourage anybody, but I think by the time we got halfway through her 9th step, which, you know, I consider the recovery steps, she was probably almost a year sober. And that's probably the lengthiest that I've done. And then I've also had somebody who, and in fact, it was one of those people that I just now was given an example for. One of those people who wanted to try the easier, softer way. They thought I was too big of a hard ass, whatever. They had been coming to AA for 9 years, and she couldn't get two months sober. And she had been trying, you know, different meetings and different sponsors and different ways. And you know, she thought I was too big of a hard ass, and she, you know, kept her distance from me for a good, for a good 6 or 7 years. And then finally, cause she was coming to AA since before I came to AA, she's been around for longer than I have. And then finally, you know, she showed up at this at this thing that I was speaking at. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Because she had made it no joke that she didn't like me. And she said, I need you. I want to ask you to sponsor me. And I said, I didn't even think you liked me. And she said, I don't. But somebody suggested that I ask the person who I hate most to take me through the work, because that's what willingness is. And I said, well, thank you. I'm willing to do, to take you through the work the way I go through the work. And she said that she needed to wear a t-shirt, and she'll still share this in meetings. She's still a member of New Horizons. You guys will hear her share once in a while that she needed a t-shirt for her first year that said F-U-C-K-U, but I'm willing. And that was her motto, and I heard that a lot, and she never kept it a secret that she didn't like me. And she still, I don't think, likes me a whole lot, but she's a recovered alcoholic with over 3 years sober now. Well, 4 years sober. She's over 4 years sober now. And with her, she showed up to my house. She showed up to my house drunk, crying, ready, and I met with her probably 3 days in a row for 4 or 5 hours going through the early steps. And we were on her 10, 11, and 12 before she ever even got 30 days sober. And, that was a solid foundation, and she's still sober. So it just depends on how much work are you willing to put in? How much work do you have? How much time do you have that you can put in? She's a stay-at-home housewife, so she had time,
Awesome. Thank you, honey. And I have something that I definitely want to make sure we get to answer. So it says, I work with, and this is getting back to the, 10-step here. She says, I work with children, and I have days where I lose patience with them or my kids. I do believe I should apologize, but sometimes children need to understand their behavior can cause impatience, like repeatedly doing things against the rule on purpose. Is this the same as what you are talking about with step 10?
I don't know if it's my job to teach. I don't work with kids. I did have a nightmare once that I was a kindergarten teacher, but I haven't had that night. Maybe if I'm really bad and I go to hell, I'll wake up a kindergarten teacher, but I don't, I don't know. I don't work with kids. I guess difficult people, who need to learn their lesson. I'm out of that role today. I can't be the one to teach them the lesson. I can't. I mean, if somebody asks me for my help or guidance, then you've given me spiritual consent. If not, then it's not my business. Like even Dee, for example, Dee and I have been friends for a while, Dee, if you don't mind. She recently asked me to sponsor her just a couple few months ago. I don't remember how long it's been now, but before she asked me to sponsor her, there were things that I was perfectly okay with that I was even participating in. and now we have to have conversations sometimes, like, yep. You have given me spiritual consent. So now this is my guidance. It's different before I'm given spiritual consent and asked for that help. Once somebody asks me for that help, then great. But if it's not asked for, then I can't take on that role, because it's a slippery slope for somebody like me. I'm a control freak. I'll start helping everybody.
I laugh because that's why I asked her, because I see so much.
You asked that question? That question came from you?
No. I mean, that's why I asked you to sponsor me. Are you kidding?
Okay. So I'm like, you're setting me up.
No. I already got yelled at for that one. I wouldn't do that again. No, I'm just teasing. But I know with mothers and children, sometimes that can be difficult. I think with this person, working with children is one thing, but even talking about our own kids or even our own family members, when we snap or we are under pressure, looking at the way that it was written. But somebody's asking, how many people do you take through this? Oh, wait, not that one. You already answered. Do you check your defects every day to avoid resentment? No, I know you were going to love that one.
Well, no, I don't check my defects anymore. Today, I'm aware of my defects and I'm constantly watching for them. So it's not like I take an inventory at the end of the day anymore. I'm constantly watching for them. And when, not if, they crop up, that's when I get to ask God to check those defects, right? That's when I get to take that to God and ask them to be removed. But yeah, and then at the end of the day, when I review, you know, my day, that is, I guess that's a form of checking to see, you know, how much they've cropped up and constructively reviewing them.
So somebody was asking, can you talk about step 8 preparation? How long is the list? What is a good example of an individual that should be on it and one not so much?
Step 8. Yeah, we've been through step 8. That's a good question. So steps 8 and 9 are where the steps start, they're together and they're italicized together. So that means that they're really to be done together. So let me find that page real quick. Okay, so it's on page 76. The second paragraph down, it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. And steps 8 and 9 are together in italicized. Now, before it starts talking about super step 9, which is pretty much the rest of the chapter, well, the next like 7 or 8 pages after that, it does talk a little bit about step 8. And it says, we have a list of all persons we've harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal, which is our 4th step, right? Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep off the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. So with that little bit of instruction right there, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. What has been helpful for me in the women that I work with, and some of them are just like, great, here's my list. Here's my list of everybody that came up in my 4th step and I'm ready to make amends. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. But some of them are not as enthusiastic about that. And so that's when I can offer breaking the list up into 2 or 3 sections, right? 2 sections, maybe an easy section, and it's not going to be so easy. And then some women who are hard-headed like me, and this is where you get to use discernment. I offer 3 lists. One, you know, it's one list, but let's have 3 different sections, right? A list of people who I am ready to make amends. It's long overdue. I need to do this. A list of, I know I need to make amends, but this is going to be tough. I'm going to have to take the bit in my teeth, right? And then the hell no list. The ain't nobody going to make me to make amends to that B list, right? And when there's those 3 lists and when there's that type of thinking, sometimes it can be easy to start on the okay list, start on the yes, I need to make amends list. And then once you get done with that list, start on the middle list where, yeah, it's going to be hard. And once those amends start occurring, right, once we get even, the book says halfway through, before we are halfway through, we're going to be amazed before we are halfway through with the 9th step. And some of these promises are starting to materialize. And all of a sudden, because I'm getting a payoff from these amends, these feel good. I'm like walking, you know, with my head up. I'm looking people in the eye. It's like feeling good. I'm getting some of these ninth step amends. It makes it, that hell no list, a little bit easier to pray for the willingness to become willing with more earnest. You know, I have them start praying on it right away, you know, even before they've made any amends, like start praying for the willingness to become willing on that last list. But sometimes that doesn't do any good until they've experienced some of those promises that have started materializing. And then that's incentive. It's like, yes, I want to do more amends. I want these promises. I want this freedom. How free do you want to be? Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Carrie. Now I have a few, not a whole lot, but a few, because if you haven't heard yours addressed, please don't leave. I know there's one from somebody in particular in my area. We're going to ask that. And there's another one that came in towards the end. So you guys stick around. What I'm going to do is shut down the recording and then we'll go ahead and, you know, you guys can ask those questions. So stay with us. I want to say welcome. One of the girls was back 3 days, but I got her information. She's gone, I see. But I was going to say welcome to Michelle, but she's gone. David with 260 days, Chesapeake with 96. And Deborah, 30 years. Wow. Congratulations. And
Oh my God. We got to say happy birthday to, we got to sing.
It. Let's do it. Sing it. Get ready. All right. Wait. Well, wait for me and then don't go anywhere. We'll unmute and we'll do that.
Okay.
Let me close out. Okay. Perfect. So, and then we have our POA, our proof of attendance here. Kylie, I'm glad you stayed. Most people don't follow directions and stay on screen or they disappear. So please, we'll be sure to get you out that proof of attendance and any other information that you need regarding the AA program. So with that, do you have a home group with a heartbeat? Is it connected to the veins and arteries of Alcoholics Anonymous through its GSR? A GSR carries your home group's vote to the conference. The three-leg group supports having a service commitment at a home group with an active GSR. If you don't already have a home group and are in need of a home group with a GSR, reach out to us at home group. I mean, I'm not at home group. Listen to me. At home at thethreeleggroup.com. Do you have a three legacy sponsor? That's what Carrie does, by the way. The three-leg group supports three legacy sponsorship in all 36 of our spiritual principles. This includes taking steps 1 through 9, practicing 10, 11, and 12, and embracing the traditions for unity and being considerate of the concepts for service. If you don't already have a sponsor and are in need of a three legacy sponsor, then reach out to us as well at that same email address at home at thethreeleggroup.com. Carrie, you want to take us out with the 10 step promises, or do you want to go to the 9 step promises? But I had the 10 step promises ready to go.
Whatever you want me to do.
10-step promises, you know it, for those okay. that are here, yeah.
Okay, 10-step promises start on the bottom of 84, I believe. Yeah, okay. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Hey, since we happen to be talking about that spirituality, will you read that next little part on that next paragraph about that maintenance part?
You're really testing me. Yeah, but that's okay. I got it. All right. It's easy to let up. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance, and maintenance is an action word, of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day where we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. They can we can exercise our willpower along these lines all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Oh, thank you so much. And at this time, I'm going to finish the sentence, the couple questions, and then we'll shut the recording off and let everybody unmute and say thank you. Deborah said it's next Friday, a week from today is her day. She said, you sing to me then.
So oh, it's on the 11th. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I thought so. Friday. I'm like, I was feeling bad. Yeah. I even talked to her on the phone this morning and I'm like, how did I forget
your
birthday?
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. We just put it in there because we were putting the celebrants for June. So somebody says, do you know or think there is an emotional difference when men take men through the steps as opposed to women taking women through the steps? I don't know if I asked that correctly. However, with that one said, there was another question from somebody else that we can hit them both at the same time. They wanted to know, does she sponsor men or only women? And it was a gentleman asking it, but it wasn't the same gentleman that asked the other question. So I thought I'd throw those in there for you.
Oh, so.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
This is a personal thing. You know, the sponsorship pamphlet this year at the conference, and, you know, we just voted, AA as a whole, to take out the phrase about women sticking with women and men sticking with men. Now, having said that, you know, I don't know. I'm not because I'm straight, not because I'm a straight woman, but just because of who I am more comfortable with a woman. You know, and I don't even think, you know, and when I'm accused of being sexist, which happens sometimes, it's actually not even from the other end. It's from saying that women, you know, like even last night on the meeting, we were talking about women not, for some reason, knowing how to stand up for traditions like men do, you know? And so it's not like I like women better than, or men better than women, or women better than men. It just, for me, I'm more comfortable sharing, especially my sex inventory, with another woman. And that's for me. I have sponsored men. Most of them have been gay. Two of them have been, you know, senior citizens. One of them actually lived in a senior living, assisted living, you know, and I would come in to the cafeteria and we would go, you know, through the steps. But I've never sponsored a man. I have sponsored gay men through all 12 steps. I've never sponsored a straight man and heard his sex inventory. I have always, you know, had somebody else come in. And today when someone asks me, and I've done that, you know, here and there, the reason that I don't necessarily do that today, even with discernment, is not because I don't think I'm spiritually fit enough to take a man through the steps. But A, they're probably not spiritually fit enough to allow me to take them through the steps, being a newcomer. And B, the way that looks to other people who might have ulterior motives and say, well, Carrie Blake is doing it, so I can do it too. And they, you know, it doesn't set a good example. And so, yes, I have. No, I don't make a practice out of it. For example, you know, David, he was, you know, he's our Zoom baby. And I've definitely taken him under my wing. And when it came time for him to get a sponsor and he asked me if I would sponsor him, I told him that I don't sponsor, I don't sponsor newcomers. I have to put AA as a whole and my home group before one individual. And I have a couple of men in my home group that I wouldn't want sponsoring women. So I have to be a good example. And so what I told David is, you know, this is a man that I think you should call and ask to be your sponsor and talk to me in a couple of years when you're through the steps and we'll talk about that. Right. And so David, being extremely willing and a good listener, called that man that night, I think, and asked him to sponsor him. And he's been he's been doing that. So just because Ida can't sponsor a man doesn't mean that I can't help them to find a sponsor, right?
That's beautiful. And I love that. I love those kind of answers. And I've seen that from you, not just heard those words from you. So also, you know, has it been your experience that it was mine, that women, at least the women I've worked with, you know, 95% of them seem to like not like women, you know? And then of course, once going through the steps, then that changes, you know, we learn how to have personal relationships and seem how to be of help to others, et cetera. So I don't know, has that been your experience too, or?
My experience was the opposite for me. When I came in, I was like, I was the she man, woman hater or whatever, or man hater. I was the opposite. Like I came in when I would go out with friends in the bar, like I wouldn't get sloppy drunk and go and flirt. I was the bee who would say like, excuse me, what are you doing trying to buy me a drink? Can you see that I'm here with the ladies? Yeah. Bye bye. You know, you know, like, and I was the one who would come to the rescue of any friends that were being hit on. And, you know, I was the big mouth that wasn't afraid to do that. And so coming in the rooms, it was kind of the same. I was like, I don't want nothing to do with you guys. And I hid out in women's meetings and whatever, until of course I found my godsend, the old timer with 3 months of sobriety, who knew everything about the big book and wanted to take me through the big book. But, I wanted women when I was new. I felt more comfortable with women. I always have.
Gotcha. All right. So it says there's a lot of directions for daytime activity in step 11. Could that be part of what confuses people so badly between step 10 and 11? Any opinion on that? And I did not stacking the basket, by the way. I don't do that anymore since we had that conversation. So these are not any of my questions. They're from the audience. I'm just saying. So please explain more in depth what the concept of spiritual consent means. Those are two that came.
As far as the stuff throughout the day in the 11th step, that could be, that's a good question, but I've never heard anybody get confused with the 11th step being the 10th step. I've just heard people calling the 10th step the 11th step. So that wouldn't make much sense in that. Yes, there's a lot to do in the 11th step throughout the day, but no one really gets the 11th step confused with the 10th step. They get the 10th step confused with the 11th step, and they think that the 10th step is done at night. And that that is not something that would be, the big book would have confused, because it's pretty clear in the big book, right after it says step 11 in italics, it tells you to make your nightly review. So it's pretty clear as far as that goes. If it were the other way around, I would say, yeah.
Awesome. Let me check that one. I'm sorry. And then the other one that went right with that was, please explain more in depth what this concept of spiritual consent means.
Oh, yeah. Well, it means that when somebody asks me to walk this path with them and to be their AA guide, we call it a sponsor. I explained to them, you know, you're giving me permission to sponsor you. If you're asking me to sponsor you, I'm going to sponsor you. Which means that's a spiritual relationship that we're entering into, which means you want me to, be your accountability. Right. And so when I see you going off the deep end, at the beginning of our relationship, you asking me to sponsor you is like you saying, this is my consent. This is my spiritual consent. Call it as you see it. But if you don't ask me to sponsor you, I can't go around calling it as I see it.
Right.